You've no doubt all heard about Trump's trans tweets last week, the three Twitter messages in which he declared that transgender people would not be allowed in the military because of what he called tremendous medical costs and disruption. These arguments have been debunked, of course. Trans people are neither expensive nor disruptive. And more broadly, the assumption that healthcare needs to be rationed on the basis of cost fits well with the apparent ruling class assumption that most people are generally not worth keeping alive. Some have interpreted the tweets as a distraction from policy issues like healthcare insurance reform and from political scandals like conflict of interest charges or Russiagate investigations, for instance. Masha Gessen points out that to describe as a distraction the president's declaration that a group of Americans are second-class citizens and his promise of a policy reversal that would directly affect thousands of people is, quote, not only a grievous insult to transgender people, but a basic failure to understand the emotional logic of Trumpism. This is the logic that Trump shares with most modern-day strongmen, and it was this logic that made his attack on LGBT rights so predictable, even while he was literally draping a rainbow flag over his body last year. Trump got elected on the promise of a return to an imaginary past, a time we don't remember because it never actually was, but one when America was a kind of great that Trump has promised to restore. Trump shares this brand of nostalgia with Vladimir Putin, with Hungarian President Viktor Orban, and with any number of European populists who promise a return to a mythical traditional past. With few exceptions, countries that have grown less democratic in recent years have drawn a battle line on the issue of LGBT rights. Moscow has banned pride parades. In Erdogan's Turkey, water cannons were used to disperse an Istanbul pride parade. Narendra Modi's India has recriminalized homosexuality. In other words, queer and trans rights are anything but a distraction. They are a frontier, sometimes the frontier, in the global turn toward autocracy. In Trump's imaginary past, every person had his place and a securely circumscribed future. Everyone and everything was exactly as it seemed. The very existence of queer people, and especially transgender people, is an affront to this vision. End quote. As Jack Halberstam notes, this is a time, at present, when the visibility and acceptance of transgender people has never been higher, when high school students openly discuss issues of gender variance, and businesses boycott states without transgender bathroom policies. End quote. But as Gessen points out, the growing visibility of queer and trans people has coincided with the precipitous loss of economic security, the disappearance of lifelong careers, the rising sense of a world transformed by the movement of people across borders. Scapegoating trans people for the economic and other disasters of the present is not serendipitous. Political Research Associates reports that 2 days before Trump's trans tweets, the Family Research Council, FRC, a right-wing political advocacy group based in Washington, D.C., issued an action alert to its members, enlisting their support in denying health care to military personnel who are transgender. FRC argued that providing medically necessary treatment to trans people is a distraction from the military's purpose. 2 years ago, in June 2015, the FRC laid out a 5-point plan for responding to the transgender movement, which specifically argues against allowing trans people the right to serve in the military, in addition to withholding gender-affirming health care, access to gender transition procedures, legal recognition, and protection from discrimination. Working in conjunction with Focus on the Family, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and other leading Christian right organizations, FRC advances its anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion agenda through reports such as that plan, as well as through lobbying efforts, media work, and high-profile conferences, namely the annual Values Voters Summit, which last year featured unprecedented appearances from the Republican presidential and vice presidential candidates. Moreover, Trump's transition team included figures from the FRC, which is using its close proximity to the president and vice president to further advance its anti-trans agenda. In a press release following Trump's Twitter announcement, FRC's president, Tony Perkins, applauded the president for keeping his promise to return to military priorities, end quote. Both Perkins and Trump's language hark back to one of the oldest tricks in the right-wing playbook. Set up a dichotomy between the deserving and the undeserving, and drive a wedge between them. The right's new portrait of liberalism run amok is the quote-unquote delusional trans person, whose only real delusion is that employees deserve non-discrimination protections and health care coverage. Trump's description of trans people as being a burden, and FRC's suggestion that trans inclusion is a distraction, is simply the newest chapter in the right's fear-inducing mythology of parasitic, undeserving takers in American society. This inhumane framing serves as justification for gatekeeping economic opportunities and civil rights for marginalized people, and conceals how destructive so-called austerity can be." End quote. Yet this scapegoating has also resonated with tensions in left-liberal politics, with more mainstream liberals promoting the patriotism and brave service of trans people in the military, and more radical left voices noting that we should be banning cis people from the military, as there's nothing progressive about an institution that is dedicated to killing people, as I've heard supporters of Trump's policy characterize the military. An institution that's damaging not only to the enemies Trump's supporters want the military to crush, but damaging also to those who enlist. Dean Spade points out that 30% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have contemplated suicide. 43% say they are not seeking mental health care because they fear it will negatively impact their careers. And 80% say they do not think that vets are getting as much care as they need. This left versus liberal tension is precisely the angle that Democracy Now! Took in reporting on the trans tweets. Amy Goodman opened the show about it by saying, quote, "While President Trump's ban on transgender people from military service has been widely criticized even by fellow Republicans, it has reignited a debate within the LGBT community. Some have questioned whether the discourse on transgender rights should be broadened to include a critique of militarism." End quote. But as Matilda Bernstein Sycamore objected, anti-war queer voices should be the ones at the center of anti-war left media coverage. The show devoted most of the segment to interviews with trans soldiers who extolled the glory of the U.S. military without any serious questions. Dean Spade appeared briefly at the end of the segment, even though, as Sycamore notes, Spade's values are more closely aligned with those of Democracy Now! And its listeners. As Spade has noted elsewhere, quote, "The liberation we're working toward requires that we fight for vets and everyone else who gets exploited and abandoned by the U.S. military imperialism. But not that we participate in rhetoric that celebrates the U.S. military as an employer or ties trans well-being to military service." End quote. Those of us opposed to the current militarist and autocratic political trends need to be less divided in our recognitions that no one's life is a distraction. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michel.